Hello and welcome back to lecture 20. Last time we explored a first idea to replace the nonlinear Riemann problem in the Godunov scheme by something that is computationally cheaper and makes the Godunov scheme practical on sort of for large scale simulations. And that was the idea due to Rho essentially, where the nonlinear Riemann problem is sort of replaced by an approximate linear problem that is much easier to solve and can in effect be evaluated analytically. And today we'll explore a different avenue to do a sort of cheaper scheme. And that is the so-called HLL family of Riemann solvers that goes back to an original idea by Hartmann, Lux, and Van Leer, hence HLL, proposed back in 1983. And essentially, the basic idea here is to ignore most of the nonlinear waves of the Riemann problem for a given set of conservation laws, and to only retain those two nonlinear waves associated with the fastest and the slowest wave speeds. And essentially replace all the other intermediate states and waves by some effective average state that is yet to be specified. And we'll discuss this in quite some detail starting in just a few minutes. That solver has obviously the advantage of being fairly simple and can be evaluated fairly cheaply, computationally speaking. And so this really gave rise to a class of Riemann solvers, approximate Riemann solvers that is very robust, very simple, computationally cheap, and hence its wide use in many applications across physics and engineering today. However, ignoring all these intermediate nonlinear waves obviously comes at some cost. So for example, with the Euler equations, the contact discontinuity cannot be resolved, and so this leads to numerical problems. So we usually refer to this as sort of very dissipative solver that is sort of numerically smearing out the intermediate contact discontinuity in the Euler case, and it would similarly smear out any other nonlinear waves in a different set of conservation laws. So this is really only a complete Riemann solver in the sense for systems of two equations. And so this led to some modifications that tried to deal with these intermediate waves and getting rid of some of these numerical deficiencies there. So this gave rise, for example, to the HLLM solver, which we actually won't discuss here, that tries to deal with this smearing out problem. And so some of those modifications can actually be shown to be fairly similar to a modified version of the Rho solver that we discussed last time. But we won't go into too much detail here. Instead, we'll discuss an extension, a modification of the HLL solver called the HLLC solver, which again tries to deal with this intermediate state specifically for the Euler equation. So assuming that the intermediate nonlinear wave is a contact discontinuity. And in this case, Toro et al. Showed in 1994 that this modification actually doesn't lead to a lot of additional complication, but can be dealt with fairly easily and can be in the end reduced to the same problem as in HLL, namely to specify the fastest and the slowest wave speeds or to estimate those wave speeds. And once those are known, the Riemann problem can be written down analytically in a fairly simple form. So we'll discuss this because HLLC is really widely used in hydrodynamics codes these days. And finally, we'll also discuss HLLE, that will be in the next lecture, which is essentially just the HLL solver plus some specific wave speed estimates that are needed to close the problem that were estimated and proposed by Einfeld in 1988. Okay, but let's start with the most simple idea where this whole family started, namely with the HLL Ansatz back in 1983. So the problem again is we consider a general system of conservation laws and we'll focus on the 1D case, one spatial dimension for now, to make things simple. We have initial conditions given by some initial data u naught of x. And we also may have some boundary conditions in general, although we will not discuss this in great detail here. But they're given, that may be specified by two functions on either side of the spatial domain, which we just assume to be between zero and some length L. And we want to solve these equations using a conservative scheme, which, as you may remember, is of the form ui n plus 1. Is given by UIN minus delta t over delta x, and then the difference of numerical fluxes at the interfaces of grid cells. Remember the original Godunov flux is given by the actual physical flux evaluated for the exact solution to the Riemann problem at the cell interface, which we denoted by Vn. So this is the exact solution to the Riemann problem at the cell interface. And so just essentially renormalizing the x-axis, centering around the cell interface, we can also write this just as sort of Vn I plus 1/2 of zero. And yeah, let me just write this down again explicitly, where Vi n, Vi plus 1/2 n of zero is the exact solution of the local Riemann problem. Draw the note here by star. You left and you right, which is given by U I N U I plus 1 N. and we'll now center X around that cell interface. So this means X smaller than XI plus 1/2. This is X greater equals XI plus 1/2. And so the idea by Harten, Lux, and Van Leer in 1983. And so if you want to look up the actual reference, it's given by this, was to essentially replace now this nonlinear Riemann problem and the exact solution by an approximate solution. Of this form, where we have some left state, left of this lowest, wave speed. We have some intermediate state that we call UHLL in between the slowest and the fastest signal speed. And then our right state to the right of these two nonlinear waves, where this intermediate state is yet to be specified. So SL and SR are fastest wave speeds, and for now we'll assume that they are known. We'll discuss next time how those can actually be independently estimated in an efficient way and in a robust way for practical computations. And the intermediate state UHLL is an approximate state that we still need to specify given SL and SR. So essentially, if I draw the Riemann problem in this graphical representation, essentially the ansatz is to have one nonlinear wave to the left and one nonlinear wave to the right. So here, this is X and T, and so here's our cell interface, XI plus 1/2, for example. And so this would be T equals TN. And essentially the approximation here is to ignore all other nonlinear waves in between these two waves and replace this intermediate all these intermediate states just by one effective average state, UHLL. Okay, so this is essentially the basic idea. Now let's see how we can actually make sense of this. And so the way to determine this intermediate state is by using exact integral relations of the conservation law, or of the system of conservation laws. And so the following integral relations that I'll derive here are generally valid. So this is not specifically tied to the HLL Riemann solver, but we'll then use these exact integral relations to specify such an intermediate state UHL, UHLL. And so the idea is essentially to consider a control volume that spans across all these nonlinear waves. So from some location to the left to some location to the right, and then also over some given time interval from 0 to capital T. And we require that that XL, so the left end of our control volume, is left to the always stays left to our slowest nonlinear wave, and that the right end of our control volumes always stays right of the fastest nonlinear wave. So let me try to sketch this here and introduce some notation that we'll use in the following. So here we have our left wave and our right wave. Here lives our initial data. Let's say this is our time capital T, up to which we find our control volume. And so let's say this is XR. XL, then this would be our control volume V. And again, for further reference, we'll denote this intermediate region again as the star region, in analogy to solving the general Riemann problem for the Euler equations. And we'll also use the following notation, that this part of our control volume will be V minus, and this part will be B plus. And then also for further reference, once we discuss the HLLC solver, we'll introduce a third nonlinear wave. And so we'll then make actually a distinction between the two regions and define this as U star left and this as U star right. But for now, for the HLL solver, we'll just refer to this as the star state between the two waves. Also, let me just note here that this is the location T times SL. So the distance that this wave has traveled in the finite amount of time, capital T. And the same thing here for the right wave. And now we can integrate our conservation law over this volume V. So we'll integrate from X left to X right and from 0 to capital T. And so writing out this in explicit terms will have u of x comma t, the x. So here we've already integrated the first term over time. And now I'm moving terms over to the right hand side. So this will be our initial data. So this will be constant on your left to zero, and then we'll have the other constant from zero to xr. And then we have time integral over the fluxes. So note that this is the constant state UL. We're always evaluating the flux right at this boundary here, which is always in the domain UL, left of the left wave. And then we have the flux integral on the right hand side. And again, this is, for similar reasons, constant, as we're evaluating, again, the flux here on this rightmost boundary. So splitting this integral here again into two terms, from xl to zero, and then from zero to xr, we find the following result. So this is xr ur minus x left u left plus time t times some constant flux fl and minus fr. And so we'll define this as relation one. We'll meet this further down, where we defined fl as f of ul, and then similarly fr is f of ur. Also, we can write this integral in the following way. We can decompose it actually in three parts. We first integrate from xl to tsl, and then from tsl, so then through the intermediate region, from tsl to tsr, and then the third part from tsr to xr. And so you can already guess where this goes. We'll solve then for the integral over the intermediate states, and this will give rise to the definition of an average state in the star region. And we'll refer to this identity as 2. So again, here, you know that this is constant. This is just UR. And similarly here, this is constant. So this is constant. And it's just given by u left And so we can write this here. Yeah, let me just write it out explicitly. So we'll get TSL minus XL UL plus the integral over the star region and then here get the analogous expression on the right side. Okay, now we can solve essentially for an expression for the average state in the star region. And the interesting conclusion is that this average is actually constant. So it's independent of the time capital T over which we have sought to average this intermediate state. So in other words, if we wanted to use this numerically, then independent of the time step over which we would like to explore this solution to the Riemann problem, we would find the same expression here. It's entirely determined by quantities given by the initial data on the left and right side. Assuming that these wave speeds SL and SR are known, are provided. So I just wanted to finish this derivation of the intermediate state here with two remarks, which are essentially obvious. So this is true for any wave structure. And number of waves in the Riemann problem. We have at no time actually used any information about how many intermediate waves we have. And then second, as I already mentioned, we need to know the wave speeds. The fastest wave speeds, SL and SR. Okay, and so we can now use this to actually find a useful flux expression for a for the Godunov type scheme using this sort of two-wave approximation to the Riemann problem. So this will now be our task. And so remember, we need to specify a flux expression at the cell interface. So we'll just rewrite the integral expression a little bit. So let's now use these two different control volumes, V minus and V plus, So again, this was the sort of negative part for control volume. And this was, so V plus was the part with positive X coordinate. And so let's write the integral expression in the following form. So X L to zero, X comma T, dx minus u of x comma zero dx. So this will be constant and just be given by the left state of the problem. So this will be just minus x left u left. And this we can split in two integrals, namely an integral from x left to t s left. And here u constant again and given by the left state ul. And so the second integral will be from TSL to zero and will contain some averaging in the star region. And then on the right hand side, I've put the flux terms. And so this would be now our desired term evaluated at the cell interface minus u at x left comma t dt. So you can write this as t SL to zero UX comma T X is given by minus TSL UL. So this part here plus this part here plus t, and then we have this flux difference. And so we can solve for the flux expression that we want, namely f zero L. So this being just FL as defined before. So we'll have FL minus integral TSL to zero u of x comma t dx. And this here is just SL times the average in the star region. Where x is negative. And so we can do this for the in an analogous way for V plus. And we'll find this very analogous expression, FR minus SRUR plus, in this case, 1 over T, and this again is an average in the star region where X is positive. And obviously, those two fluxes have to coincide at the cell interface. So F U left has to equal F U right. And so F U left equals F U right is can be shown to be equivalent to our integral relation one above. So essentially what we've done is just reformulated this integral expression here that we found, just rewriting it in a way that it provides us with the desired expression for the flux at the cell interface. And so this is now what we want to specify in more detail. So again, the HLL idea is to have a two-wave approximation. So we can replace averages FUL, FUR by UHLL. So that is the basic idea here. To interpret this here essentially as our intermediate state HLL. And so the exact flux expression then would be taking this expression and inserting the intermediate state UHLL that we computed above. So plus SL, and then we have minus UL, and then similarly for the expression evaluated from the right side, we get FR plus SR UHLL minus UR. You can sort of reinterpret these two equations that we just derived as Rankin Ugonyo jump conditions across these two shock waves. If you would just bring the fluxes on one side and the difference between the states onto the other side, you'll see just that the difference in fluxes is given by essentially the wave speed times the difference in the state vectors, and that's exactly the Rankin-Ugonyo jump conditions. So just a note I wanted to make here, these relations can just be reinterpreted as Rankin-Ugonyo relations across the R and L waves. And so in principle, we could have just started from those relations and we would have arrived at the same result here. And so now setting FUL and FUR equal to each other, we get the HLL flux as SR times FR minus SL FR plus SL SR UR minus UL. SL. And so again, this is an expression that's entirely determined by the initial data to the Riemann problem on the left and on the right side, so the left and the right state, assuming that, again, we know the wave speeds as R and as L. And so we can now define a Gordunov flux for our Gordunov scheme. And so we'll set this to the HLL flux, and we'll just have in general this expression here. Depending on the sign of the wave speeds. So in deriving this expression here, we assume that essentially as L is negative and as R is positive, in the other cases, the expressions are obvious and similar and more simple. So here we have just FR if S right is negative. So if both signal speeds are negative. Okay, and then just to be very explicit in the language of our Gordunov scheme, FL is F of UIN, and FR is the flux evaluated for the state vector ui plus 1n. Okay, so we have now an approximate intercell flux that we need for the Gordunov scheme, and that essentially fully specifies now the HLL approximate Riemann solver. So a two-wave approximation to the full Riemann problem, which is sort of a complete solver again for m equals two systems, but not for systems with more than two equations. And so HLL showed in their original paper, and this is one remark I wanted to make here, that the Gordunov scheme with this intercell flux converges to a weak solution of the system of conservation laws. If indeed the scheme converges so the algorithm, the method retains its conservative nature, and in addition to this property guaranteed by the Lax-Mandrov theorem, we were also able to show that it converges to the entropy solution, so that this Gordunov scheme with the approximate HLL Riemann solver is consistent with the entropy the discrete entropy condition and therefore also converges to the entropy solution. And that is a big deal in the sense that this was the first essentially approximate Riemann solver that would do this sort of out of the box, in a sense. As we discussed last time, for the row solver, there are several fixes that need to be applied in order to make this linearized Riemann solver, this linearized row scheme, to actually recover the entropy solution. So this is a big advantage of the HLL solver. It does converge to the weak solution and to the entropy solution without any fixes. However, there's also disadvantages. And I already alluded to this. One obvious one being the fact that it cannot resolve any intermediate states, so any intermediate nonlinear waves, such as contact discontinuities or other shear waves, because by construction, we simply ignore them and instead replace them by some effective intermediate state. And this leads to diffusive behavior that is also often referred to as numerical smearing, essentially. Tends to smear out any nonlinear wave structures in between. And that can actually be unacceptable for some numerical applications. And that is in particular the case when there is a stationary intermediate wave that is sort of fixed that stays at a fixed position with respect to the grid, so that the grid essentially either moves with that intermediate wave or the wave structure is otherwise fixed relative to the grid. And so for such applications, and typically must resort to other approximate Riemann solvers. And so this leads me exactly to the next ansatz, namely to ideas of how to fix this problem of sort of the smearing out of the intermediate wave structure or wave structures. And so in the specific context of the Euler equations, there's a well-known fix to this, which is the so-called HLLC solver that I already mentioned earlier, and so that I wanted to introduce here as well. And so the idea here is to add a third wave to the problem. To eliminate the deficiencies of the HLL or HLLE, which we'll also discuss soon. And so at least for the Euler equations, where some assumptions can be made about the nature of the intermediate wave, namely, we know that there's always going to be a contact discontinuity. So for the Euler equations, we have this situation And so C stands for, this is why I highlighted it here with this yellow color, C stands for contact. So all that HLLC does is to add a contact discontinuity, a third wave to the problem. So again, this is our star region. And now we do distinguish between U star right and U star left. So C here stands for contact. And so this construction or this idea, this ansatz, is due to Toro, Spruce, and Spears, the original references in the journal Shockwaves, volume 4, 25, 1994. Okay, so you would like to look this up and read about the original idea in more detail. We'll summarize a few things here. So now we are going to define different averages here. In analogy to the HLL ansatz, but now distinguishing between the two star regions left and right of the contact discontinuity. So let's define those averages. TSL to TS star, where S star is the wave speed of the contact discontinuity, which in the case of the Euler equations is just the fluid speed in that region. And then in an analogous way, we have our average U star right goes from TS star to TS right, U of X comma T dx. And so essentially rewriting our integral formula up here, our exact integral relation for the conservation law here, but now expressing this in terms of the two different averages left and right of our contact discontinuity, we find the following relation, namely previously defined average UHLL can be now expressed in terms of these new averages, which is not too surprising, obviously. So just plugging in the definitions of these averages, we find this relation. So it's essentially just a linear combination of these two averages that we just introduced. And so the HLLC approach can now be summarized as follows. We replace the exact solution to the local Riemann problem by this expression. So we have constant state on the left on the left fastest left moving nonlinear wave. We have some intermediate state u star left between the leftmost wave and the contact discontinuity. We have some intermediate state u star right between the contact discontinuity and the right wave. And then finally, the constant initial data state. Fastest wave of the problem. And the intercell Godunov flux is then specified the following way. We have some constant flux FL, again left SL, and then F star left. So exactly the same idea as above, just splitting the intermediate state and the intermediate flux in two regions, left and right of the contact discontinuity, where we still need to find and specify these expressions here. With F star left, F star right, U star left, U star right, still to be determined. And in order to do so, we can use the Rankine Ugonio jump conditions again. And we'll apply them now across all the three wavefronts. Remember above, we reformulated the integral expressions again in terms of these Rankine-Ugonio relations, and now we'll just add one more across the contact discontinuity. So we'll have across the left wave, we can write those jump conditions in this way. Now we have the jump conditions across the contact discontinuity. And finally, across the third wave, and so now the idea is to work with these relations and some additional assumptions that we'll make in a second to obtain explicit expressions for all these flux expressions. So the first idea will, so the first step will be essentially to find an expression for S star. So for the wave speed of the contact discontinuity in terms of known quantities, namely in terms of the wave speeds SL and the SR, as well as the states UL and UR of the Riemann problem. And so once we have such a relation, the HLLC problem, if we plug this into our equations 1, 2, 3 here, then the HLLC problem is reduced to the HLL problem. And we discussed above, where it just remains to be seen what these wave speeds SL and SR actually are. But that is something that we will discuss next time independently. And so assume that we have such such an expression for S star, so for the wave speed of the contact discontinuity, determine U star left and U star right, and then use the above expressions to find the required fluxes F star left and F star right. Okay, and so I'll just quickly sketch this, how one would actually do this explicitly. So we'll actually need additional conditions, and this is now exactly where the assumption about the nature of the wave comes in, namely the fact that we're dealing with a contact discontinuity where, as you may remember, the pressure is actually a K Riemann invariance, or it stays constant across the waves. So P star L and P star R equal P star. And also the wave speed of the contact discontinuity is simply given by the fluid speed V star, as you remember, for the Euler equations, which is just the eigenvalue, the second eigenvalue lambda 2 of the Euler equations. So this is now where we explicitly make use of the assumption that we're dealing with the Euler equations. That would obviously change for a different system of equations. And so now we can just use these additional two conditions to close the system of equations 1, 2, 3 here, and massage essentially these terms to get explicit expressions in terms of known quantities. So we'll use two of these Rankine-Ugogno-Jump conditions, and we'll also make use of the fact that the Euler equations can be written in, so let me write this here in vector notation, in this form, di. So this is the, maybe I should write this as small f, to be consistent with previous notation. So that the fluxes for the Euler equations are given are of this form, where this vector here is just given by 0 EI and EI, where E is the internal energy. In fact, I'm sorry, I used this notation here. 1 0 0, where I refers to the entry that is non-vanishing. So you can just go back to chapter 5 where we discussed the Euler equations, and you'll see that one can recast them, the sort of the flux expressions that we found there, in this form. And so using that, so I won't do every single step of this derivation here, just to give you the basic idea. So we can now find relations for P star left and P star right as functions just of the left and of the right state, and as a function of the wave speed of the contact discontinuity at star. And those are given as follows. So we can encourage you to do it, to go through this algebra yourself. It's just very basic manipulations. And I wanted to at least write down the explicit result here. And so then using four, namely that P star L and P star R need to be the same, so that the pressure is conserved over the contact discontinuity, we find this desired expression of S star in terms of the left and the right wave speeds, and the expression is the following: PR minus P left plus rho L V left SL minus V left minus rho R VR SR minus VR divided by rho L SL minus VL minus rho R times SR minus VR. And so, as you can see, it's entirely specified in terms of the left and the right state of the Riemann problem, assuming that we know SL and SR. And so this is now what I meant by the fact that we reduce the problem to the HLL problem of specifying the wave speeds SL and SR. Okay, so using, and so I will now refer to this expression here as our equation six. So using 1 to 6, there are now actually several possible ways to accomplish step two in sort of our solution strategy here, namely the task to determine U star L, U star R, and corresponding fluxes F star L and F star R. So first we'll find U star L and U star R, and then with the above formulae, they imply expressions for F star L and F star R. You can have a look at few choices, which are essentially all equivalent and to some extent up to taste. For example, one of the straightforward ones is the following expression. So we can use 1 and 3 and the expressions for P star L and P star R as we found above. And then find following expressions, which are entirely analogous for L and R, which is why I just use both indices here, L comma R, and the corresponding U star expressions are rho left right times S left right minus U left right divided by S left right minus S star. And so then the vector here is 1, and then we have S star, and then the total energy E L R over rho L comma R plus S star U L R. And this was not a great use of the space here. Just move this a little to the left. Then we have S star plus P left right over rho left right times S left right minus U left right. So this would be our vector in the region left and right of the contact discontinuity. So this is one choice to close the system and specify the HLLC flux solution. And so I just wanted to end with a final remark, namely that, as you may have noticed, both the HLL and the HLLC Riemann solver work for all equations of state. If we're thinking in terms of the Euler equations, if we want to solve a hydrodynamic problem, the equation of state. So at we have during the entire derivations, we have never made use of the fact that an equation of state is known, or that we have never used any equation of state dependent relations or quantities. And we have always just worked with exact integral relations that are true regardless. And so the equation of state really only enters through the wave speeds actually of these nonlinear waves SL and SR. But so far we have formulated these approximate Riemann solvers in a way that assumed to be known. And those we still need to specify. But regardless, assuming that S, L, and S are known, we have now discussed two recipes of how to solve the Riemann problem at the flux interfaces, the cell interfaces, and specify these intercell numerical fluxes for the Goldenhoff scheme, both in a two-wave and an F3-wave approximation. And so it remains, and as you can see, these relations are analytically are sort of analytic formulae that can be evaluated in a very cheap fashion. This is just essentially plugging in numbers into algebraic expressions, and so that is a very cheap way of solving the very cheap and robust way of solving Riemann the Riemann problem. And so these solvers HLL and HLLC, and by implication also some of the modifications that depend on, that are built on those, give rise to very robust Goldenhoff type schemes for computational hydrodynamics that are widely used across many sort of problems across physics and engineering today. The only remaining problem that we haven't discussed yet regarding the HLL family of Riemann solvers is how to actually specify these wave speeds as L and as R that we need in order to write down the simple solution to the Riemann problem. And so we won't do this today because this will take, again, a little bit of time to discuss this. We'll discuss this next time and see how we can specify these wave speeds, or we can estimate these wave speeds in a very cheap way. Suitable for very very intensive computational problems.